This week on The Art Beat, we visit with Stephanie Harris, the outgoing executive director of the Lexington Art League. Welcome to the new WKY studio, Stephanie.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks so much for having me. I love the tour. It was great to see everyone's new office spaces and the beautiful recording studio.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really, really great space.
Stephanie, what is it, 20 years with the Lexington Art League? How long has it been?
Well, it's been 10 years.
10 years.
10 years, yes.
Seems like 20.
Sometimes it feels like 20.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes it feels like 5. You know,
yeah.
It's just one of those things. Yeah, I started there 8 years ago as a development director. I worked for the lovely Allison Kaiser. And at that time, she moved on to the Philharmonic. And, you know, I had a real interest in applying for the job. I knew that it was going to be an advancement for me professionally, but also a way for me to more deeply invest in the organization. And I was really excited about that. I felt very passionate about the organization. And since, you know, for me, my focus has always been really working in service to a community and nurturing something, the Art League has just been a really fantastic place to work.
Are you an artist yourself? Is this how you got led into the world of art?
I grew up starting very young in dance. I was actually, my degree is in concert dance performance. I trained to be a professional dancer.
No kidding.
Yeah, I started dancing at the age of 8. I grew up in a regional ballet company. And then when I went off to university, I majored in modern dance performance. But along with movement, which was the art that was given to me, I was interested in everything artistic. So, you know, I was the kid that was in the art room, you know, by my senior year, 4 periods of my day. All my independent study time was spent in the art room. So I was very, very involved and very, very interested in becoming a better visual artist. But I found myself just really drawn to texture and color, not able to do any real realism. Things like handmade paper, things that really involved touch and kind of that tactile approach to creating was something that was really appealing to me. I also did theater and I studied voice. So, you know, I went through public school, but I was fortunate enough to have enough artistic opportunities that I really kind of by my senior year had created this arts experience in a public school in rural Ohio. It was really wonderful. So I had no inclination that I would ever be an administrator or that I would have an office. You know, I really didn't even know that I would go to college. I graduated high school in 92. And at that time, a lot of artists weren't going to school. A lot of artists were just starting to work, and specifically in dance. You know, this kind of, I guess there was kind of a transitioning happening at that time. Now, you know, companies are looking for dancers with their degrees. But back in the day, it was like you had this limited window where you needed to go out and see if you could get hired. I decided to go ahead and go to college. I majored in theater my freshman year, and I was dancing every evening, and I was still taking studio art classes. During that year, I was at Ashland University, which is my hometown, Ashland, Ohio. A professor named Jim Reynolds, I'll never forget him. He was like, "Stephanie, you're such a great dancer." And he wasn't trying to be offensive, but he was just saying, "Please look for a school where you can major in dance." Because I loved all of these things so much, equally for different reasons, I couldn't decide. It was wonderful to have a mentor like him that said, "Why don't you take a look at these dance schools? Ohio has amazing liberal arts colleges that have wonderful dance programs." So I ended up selecting Kent State.
You ended up at the Lexington Art League.
I ended up there in 2008.
What brought you to Lexington?
So my family moved to Lexington. At the time, I was working at a place in Worcester, Ohio, called the Wayne Center for the Arts. And that's where I got my start in arts administration. I was teaching dance there. And then I was also working with a wonderful education coordinator. Her name was Marcia Christensen. She ended up retiring while I was working there. Under her kind of supervision, I started working this program for at-risk youth. It was every day, all through the school year, and it was an interdisciplinary experience. So I would teach movement to the kids, and then I would coordinate with visual art instructors, and we had a pottery studio and music studios. So the students really got this beautiful multidisciplinary experience. And so these were the kids in school that didn't have opportunities, and they were coming to our art center. And some of them, you know, by the time I left there, they were late junior high and they were going through high school by the time I was done in that position. You know, I loved that job. I grew a lot in that job. Marcia retired. I ended up taking over her position. And then at some point, I started managing the galleries there as well, working with a group of artists called the Wage Artist Group. It's like the founding artist group of that organization. They kind of took me under their wing and mentored me. And so by the time I left the Wayne Center for the Arts, I was really serving in this kind of artistic director role. I was managing the galleries, curriculum development. I was working with 30 teaching artists, you know. And it was just, I had such a passion to learn about kind of the other side of the world that I had grown up in, this space that had given me so much. When I started to really work as a teacher, and then caring for programs and making sure that they were effective, making sure that people got what they needed out of them, I found that I really had a passion for that. And I just kept learning as opportunities presented themselves. You know, I've always been willing to say I don't know the answer to something, and I'm always willing to ask questions. And so I just stayed really inquisitive. And, you know, so when we moved here, I hadn't done fundraising before. And I thought, well, if there's anything in this world I could raise money for, it would be the arts. Because it made me who I am.
The Lexington Art League, when you started off, what were some of the challenges when you first came into the job?
Oh, gosh. Well, first coming in, you know, it was learning a community, understanding mm-hmm. who people were. Coming out of a community where I had established this wonderful kind of regional network of artists and friends that were like family, coming to Lexington was a little bit of a shock. But what I found very early on, even before I went to the Art League, you know, I was able to connect to other leaders of art institutions. Kathy Walsh Piper was very kind to me at the Art Museum. And then, of course, my dear friend Ann Tower gave me my first job here. I guess when I started the Art League, I had a little bit of a beginning built. I knew who most of the players were. I think the challenge with the Lexington Art League is that it is a very old organization. And so within the 60-year period that we've existed, we've had many lifetimes. And so understanding where you are in a life cycle, I think there's a learning curve to that. Also, too, I think that there's kind of a delicate approach that you have to take to an organization that is always seems to be in transition, because we do respond to the needs of our community and we evolve as art evolves. So there's no, this is exactly how you need to do this. So you need to be really conscientious that if you're, you know, moving to one direction that's different from what you were doing before. At that point, I was talking to donors about new programs that they may not have had a personal connection to, you know, explaining the why of that, explaining that, you know, our purpose is to help arts continue to evolve. Like, that is our role. We are that space. And, you know, the artists that founded us, they had that space in the Art League. It was the place that they came to, you know, to have a platform, to have a community. And so we're still doing that today, but of course it looks different. So, you know, how do you maintain connections to those donors across decades? It can be really challenging, but it can also be absolutely magical and fulfilling.
What are some of the things you're most proud of with your tenure at the Lexington Art League?
Gosh, it's really hard to sum that up.
Well, that's why I said, what are some of the things?
Some of the things. Well, yes. Some of my favorite experiences really are some of the most challenging ones. You know, thinking outside of the gallery space, we had that whole 2-year period where we did Luminosity. And of course, you know, there's still people that are mad about that. I'm not sure why, but that was something that for the staff at the time and for the board at the time, it was really like, it wasn't an experiment. It was the fact that we had established this international profile. Artists from all over the world knew who we were, what we did. They respected our work. We started to realize how small the art world was and how we could bring artists through the Art League through residency programs. Again, you know, the things that are hard to fund are things like residency programs, because what you're doing through that is you're providing space, time, and resources. So for some people, that's not quite tangible enough. But we decided to take on those projects anyway. And were they challenging on many levels? Yes. Did we make some mistakes? Of course we did. But we also learned a great deal about our organization through those opportunities. We understood the capacity of our community and the capacity of our donors. We understood the limitations of, you know, our staff size. We're a small organization, but we do really, really big visible programs. So I think sometimes people forget or may not realize that, you know, that we're reaching over 100,000 people a year, and there's three people that work there full time. Our programming is 12 months long. It doesn't stop. So these opportunities, like going into the Pope Villa and taking a beautiful space, working with partners at the Bluegrass Historic Trust and the Pope Villa Committee, and taking a space that was really built to be inspiring and creating an inspired atmosphere within that through art, I mean, it was just one of the most exciting ways of re-engaging with a space that has been long forgotten. So the opportunity to take art and, you know, the whole Art for Everyone slogan kind of came out of my tenure, and it wasn't necessarily my single idea, but it's an idea that still resonates with the board and staff, and that we're not saying that everyone has to have art. You know, we're not trying to force feed people art, but what we are saying is that it's our obligation and our responsibility to make art accessible, and not just accessible to, like, satisfy these, you know, percentages on our grant applications, like really accessible. So if I come into the gallery, I'm not going to be greeted by someone who sits there and stares at me. I'm going to be greeted by someone who says hello to me and asks if I have any questions, or if I would like a tour around the gallery. The galleries are free, and they have been for years. So if you can't come to an event, of course it's only $5, but some people can't. You can come to our gallery for free all the time. Things like Castlewood Downs, putting sculpture in the lawn of the Loudoun House, is kind of our way of saying, you know, enjoy this. This is for you. We want the community to feel this way. And we believe very passionately that art is transformative, and that there's really nothing that compares to that immediate engagement that happens when someone is interacting with a piece of art, whether that be a painting in a museum, or whether that be, you know, a child discovering a sculpture that has a water feature. You know, we can all relate to art. We just sometimes feel like we don't know enough to do so. And so I think that the Art League is really committed in kind of getting rid of that stigma.
But you are stepping into a new chapter of your life.
Yeah.
And you get to go back and learn more.
Yeah. I don't know if everyone knows, but for the past 7 years, I've worked as an adjunct professor at the University of Kentucky in the Department of Theater and Dance, which has been, it's just been so great to have a university setting as an artist, because, you know, there is time, there is space, and there are resources. I don't have to rent my studios. You know, I have this wonderful group of students every semester. And, you know, for me, teaching is just this beautiful exchange of ideas. They want to learn, I want to teach. You know, it's like, it's the simplest thing that I do in my life. You know, that's how I feel about it now. And it's the most pleasurable part of my life. You know, and also too, personally, I've made a lot of changes just in, you know, what motivates me as a person and what kind of things I want to do with my time. I have loved running the Lexington Art League and working alongside amazing people. But the thing of it is that, you know, it's a constant fight to run a nonprofit. And that's okay. It's supposed, you know, if it was easy, you know, everyone would do it. It's not like a for-profit business. It's completely nonsensical at times. It's always in a state of flux and transition. And that is very exciting. But after time, for me personally, I've found, you know, my life has become much more intentional. I'm spending a lot more time, you know, really reflecting. I'm doing a lot of work in mindfulness. And I find that the pace of the work now doesn't really, it has stopped gelling with who I am as a person. And so I was really excited to acknowledge that. I mean, it was a terrifying realization, kind of like, oh, wait a minute. So that means I'm going to change everything. But, you know, I had slowly been finding my way back to doing more dancing. I performed last year with a professional company in Cleveland as a guest artist. You know, I did like a 12-minute duet at age 43, and the artistic director was like, when are you getting your MFA? And, you know, I had always wanted to, but I have this beautiful son who is now 16. And so with a full-time job and a child, it's, you know, it's hard to get your MFA. So I went ahead and applied to this low residency program at Hollins University in Roanoke, Virginia. And it's a program that's intended for returning professionals. So these are all artists who have been teaching, choreographing, performing for the past 20 years. And they're artists from all over the world. So we'll spend, you know, the first 5 weeks in Roanoke, Virginia, 7 days a week classes. And then we'll spend 3 weeks in Frankfurt, Germany. Been every summer for three summers. We'll have an intensive in New York City in January. And yeah, I'm going to start learning again. Although I would say the past 10 years has been a constant learning process and a discovery process that I never could have imagined having the opportunity to learn the things that I've learned. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't want to have not had the opportunities, the good opportunities, the challenging opportunities, you know, the opportunities that I've had at LAL and that this organization has provided me. They've given me lifelong friends and mentors. You know, the artists that I've worked with, I wish I could name them all because they're all so important to me. You know, right now what's happening is I'm just getting all these really beautiful messages from people, and I'm finding myself feeling very, very much in awe of just the beauty of life and how, you know, I've just had my head down. I've been working hard for 10 years, you know, and I'm just delighted that, you know, these relationships developed along the way. And I think they're part of what, you know, what kept me going in challenging times. You know, my friend Ann Tower calling me on the phone during this Luminosity thing and saying, Stephanie, you're doing a great job. It's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. That organization's going to be fine. You know, and, you know, just those kinds of things that I think there's this expectation that when we're in these leadership positions that we stop being human beings. And that's really all we are. Mm-hmm. Swear to God. You know, and it's like I think that the creative process shows us that without trial and error, you don't really fully discover potential. I think the Art League learned a lot about potential over the past 10 years. I think we're really right size now. You know, I think the exhibitions that we're doing really fit well with the mission and the vision of the organization. Those big residencies are wonderful. But again, getting people to fund process is a tricky thing.
Of course, once you've lived in Lexington, you're always kind of a Lexingtonian, so you always have this as a home. But what will you miss about Lexington?
Well, the good news is I'll be back in the fall and spring, so I'll still be living here. I have felt more at home in Lexington than I ever felt in my hometown. I just think there's something so beautiful about this community, that it is full of so many interesting people. There are so many artists in this, and it's not a tiny little community, but it still feels like a small town to me. It does now. Just that feeling of community, you know, the wonderful things that you can do here, the beautiful nature, the farmer's market. But, you know, I miss the people the most.
Sure.
I'm part of a community now, and I have a family of friends and a family of artists that I hope to continue working with and have an opportunity to really stay connected to.
So obviously now the Lexington Art League is going to need an executive director. Have you thought about what kind of advice you would give the director whenever they decide who it's going to be? What would you say?
Everything does change so quickly in nonprofit. I guess the advice that I would give is to make sure to spend time looking back on where we've been and what we've done and how we started. Because I remember when I started the director's position in 2010, it was a little overwhelming because we had changed a lot of what we were doing in the gallery, and a lot of our members at the time weren't really necessarily relating to our programming. And so it was this great opportunity to deepen relationships and have really good conversations, but it was also really challenging. It's very easy to jump into a position and just start looking ahead. Where can we go next? What can we do that's new? What can we? And I guess one of the things that I've really learned to value is reflection taking time to stop and take a look around and say, okay, you know, what's working? What isn't?
Yeah.
You know, and to be willing to again be intentional in your decisions and to be measured in your approach to things.
I think one of the things that's most underrated about what you do and what you have done is you're an excellent communicator. You're a good speaker. You know your subject matter, you know how to talk about it, and you know how to answer a question. So I hope that whoever they bring in is going to be bringing that to the table as well, because I think that's going to be essential.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, I go back to my wonderful, my life as an artist. You know, I can talk about creative process because I understand it intimately. I can talk about the value and benefit of art because even when I talk about it with you, I get this feeling in my chest of excitement, you know, and I've been in the arts for a long time and I still feel that way. And, you know, this just, what a gift to be given, to be able to take all of that passion, to put it into an organization that is such a wonderful treasure. It's going to be really weird. You know, I'm going to go to school. My last day at the Art League is the 25th. We have classes 7 days a week. And it's going to be a big shock for me to not wake up thinking about the Art League and what it needs today.
Thank you very much. And good luck to you on this second chapter.
Thanks, Joe. I really appreciate it. And I've loved talking with you over the years. Thank you.
Stephanie Harris is the outgoing executive director of the Lexington Art League. Thank you so much for listening to The Art Beat. I'm Joe Conkright for WUKY.